for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Thursday evening, April the 2nd, 2015. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service, teaching on preparation for deliverance.
Welcome, everybody. I do love this time of year. I was just sitting there thinking, this is the camp that Glenn first invited me to, and that was 11 years ago, to teach. So 11 years, this is an anniversary. I thank you, Lord, for working it out for me to be able to come, and I'm getting an echo. Thank you. That's better. Anyway, I thank God for the opportunity to share His Word and share through my trials and tribulations what God has brought me through, and in order to, as He said to Peter, He said, Peter, Simon, Satan desires to have you to sift you as wheat, but I pray for you that your faith faileth not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. I love that scripture because when He said it to Peter, He knew Peter was in for some stuff. But He also knew already that Peter was going to get through it. And that when he got there, he was to turn around and strengthen his brethren. And that's really what we're all to do. And I am thankful for the opportunity to do that. So let's open in prayer. I have lost my... There it is. Okay. Father, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for every person that you have brought here. I thank you right now for what you're going to do in their lives. They don't even know they're in for a big surprise. Lord, I thank you that you never fail those who come with expectation and that will submit themselves truly to everything that you are so that they can be made free. I bind any spirit that would keep that from happening. I bind every blocking spirit, hindering spirit, every religious spirit, every antichrist spirit, every spirit of witchcraft being worked against this camp or anybody here, the message, the word. And Lord, we just say, have your way in Jesus' name. Okay, the name of this message is called Preparation for Deliverance. I thought this is the first night. Sometimes we come in and we just get right to it. But there are some things that God laid on my heart for my own self. So why not have it apply to everybody? So I'm going to start. We're going to read some words. I left my flash drive at home. You know, I can bring it and stick it in a computer, just do off my message, and the little ring on it, the plastic thing broke and it kept falling off, and I thought, well, I can't lose this, so I tucked it away, and it's really away. So I just have jotted down some things that we're going to address. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's start there. And we're going to look at verses 27 through 32. But these are familiar scriptures because they are around the Lord's Supper and communion. But there are some things here that I think we need to look at. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. That's what I'm the point here. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, I'm going to go on. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Isn't that a good thing? We have a problem judging ourselves, though. So much easier to judge others, right? But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So, that word examine means to test, literally or figuratively, by implication, to approve, discern, or try. So that's what we are to do to ourselves. We are to look closely at ourselves. And Father, right now, I pray that you would shine the light of your Holy Spirit to the deepest chambers of our hearts, things that we have hidden away, tucked away, closed the door, locked it, and threw away the key. I ask you to come and invade those spaces this weekend so that we can truly walk in the freedom that you shed your blood that we walk in, thereby being allowing the kingdom of God to freely come into the earth. Many of us have come with problems. I got tickled at my mother years ago. Sometimes when the singing is going on, they'll move the camera and it just kind of goes back and forth across. And my mama said, so many people look so down and so beat up. And I said, Mama, that's what Lake Hamilton is for. People come there with their states of desperation. I said, that would be like you going into MD Anderson and coming out and saying, wow, did you see all the sick people in there? That's what it's for. That's what Lake Hamilton is for. We come with problems. Many times it's problems that we have tried to figure out why in the world we're going through these things and we just can't figure it out. And somehow we start thinking about demons. This just seems evil. This seems almost supernatural. So you get on the computer and you start Googling. And you find Lake Hamilton, praise the Lord, among many other resources. So maybe you came here and the problem you're having is demonic. Maybe it's not. But we don't want anything to block what God wants to do. So we're going to look at some other things that might not be demonic, because we're going to be dealing with a lot of demonic. But this is preparation for deliverance. So perhaps it could be something as simple as an attitude of your heart. And as I share these things, if something pricks you, and what I mean by that is sometimes something can be spoken and it's like something inside you goes, that's what I mean. You put your finger on it and it reacts. It, whatever it is, will react. So if that happens, don't try to figure out. Just say, Father, forgive me. You know, it says Jesus was in a meeting on the Sabbath, I guess, as was the custom. And there were many people there, doctors and lawyers and the religious leaders. And it said that as he taught, the power to heal them was present. So as these scriptures are coming forth and it goes, the power is right there to heal. There could be things that are happening in your life that is connected to that. So, if it happens, just say, Father, forgive me. One of these, and the biggest, is unforgiveness. That will block you from being able to receive deliverance. So let's just cut to the chase. And let me tell you that if you're holding unforgiveness against anybody, and you've come here to get rid of your thing, and you're not willing to forgive, you're wasting your time and your money getting here. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. You know that saying, keep it simple, stupid? I've heard it changed to keep it simple, silly. Well, we're going to keep it simple, saints. This is not rocket science. We've heard these things over and over and over again, but you know what? We're going to hear them again. Let's look at verse 9. This is, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, sometimes I encourage people to pray, and that, well, do I have to pray this every day? I said, well, in the model prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples, he said, give us this day. We only have this day. It can't cover tomorrow and all the rest of the time you're alive. Give us this day. It's a daily thing. Remember when he gave them manna? It was only good that day.
Amen.
They couldn't store it up.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Now, isn't it wonderful that we can go to him for forgiveness? But the rest of that is, as we forgive our debtors, you're asking God to forgive you the way you have forgiven others.
Amen.
That can be dangerous. Amen. Because if you choose not to forgive, guess what?
Amen.
Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If you don't forgive, he doesn't forgive. That's conditional. So if you're holding unforgiveness from anybody, choose to let it go. Because the thing that is holding you in bondage that you want to let you go is not going to let you go if you don't forgive. Forgiveness is key. Many of you may be sitting there thinking, like Peter did. Let's see what he had to say in Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Are you asking yourself that? How many times do I have to forgive them for doing that thing over and over and over again? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. That was real debt. Real debt. But for as much as he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. We read this, but can you really imagine? Someone is coming to take you and your mate and your children to pay the debt that you owe. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The same thing he said to who he owed. The same thing. And he would not. See, he withheld that forgiveness. But when... and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besought me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the inquisitors, and that really, the word is really tormentors. Delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. So see, maybe you're suffering something that's not actually a demon problem, but an unforgiveness problem, and you've been turned over to the tormentors. We don't want that. Motive for forgiving. Some would rather get vengeance. Some would rather never forgive. I've heard people say that. I will never forgive them for what they've done. Dangerous words. Some feel it's their right not to forgive. I have a right to feel the way I feel. Well, maybe that's true, but you don't have the right not to forgive. Unforgiveness, I've heard it said, is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. That's about how stupid it is. If unforgiveness will poison you. The thing about it is whatever, when you hear the person's name or you see them or you think about them, the emotions that well up, that is a power that person is holding. You're the one in prison. They're holding you. You put yourself in prison and you're delivered to the tormentors. What is the torment? Could it be, I don't know, unrest, a physical problem, financial problems? The list goes on. So perhaps it's not a demon problem, but an unforgiveness problem. So examine yourself. Let God point out, Lord, I ask you right now, by your Holy Spirit, bring to our memory anyone that has hurt us, that we have not forgiven. And let us choose with a conscious effort of our will, a decision to forgive so that we can be forgiven, so that the tormentors will be removed from us in Jesus' name. What keeps us there in unforgiveness? What keeps us there? Let's look at Matthew 18:1-7. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. So see, offense can cause us to stay in unforgiveness because we were offended. If that's the case, if it got you, just ask God to forgive you and let go of the offense. Well, let me ask you this. Have you offended anyone?
There we go.
Lord, have we, with a look, a word, a tone of voice, even a thought, have we offended God with those things? Have we offended His Holy Spirit? So Lord, remind us right now, if we have been the one to offend, in a word, a look, a thought. Forgive us. Now I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 11 for a minute and point out something else there. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So, do we have a demon problem? Or have we judged someone? I have learned in my lifetime, first of all, I have suffered everything I've ever judged. Everything. It is a spiritual law. It's like writing a purchase order. When you judge someone, it's like writing a purchase order for that thing to come to your house. And it will be delivered. You know, gravity is a physical law. If I drop this pen, it's going down. This is a spiritual law. Look at Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Every time I lick my fingers to turn the page, I have a memory of my little daughter who's left-handed. And when I used to read books to her, I would always lick my finger and turn the page. And one day she stopped me and she said, "I did it, Mommy, I did it." I said, "Okay." So she licked her right finger and turned the page with her left hand. Funny how those things just kind of jump up sometimes. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. That's a spiritual law. And it's just like dropping a pen and it's going down. You judge, you're going to be judged. And listen to this. And with what measure you measured it out, it's going to be measured to you again. I can tell you that is true. So, do you have a demon problem? Or have you judged someone and that thing has come to your house? If that's the case, think about what's going on in your life that is really giving you a problem. You know, I know people who have judged somebody's sickness. Well, if that was me, I would this or that and the other. Well, guess what? You just passed a judgment and you'll probably have an opportunity to see how you would handle it. Or maybe you're having marital problems and you know somebody else's marital problem. Yeah, well, pass the judgment. Careful. That thing is very real. Or maybe you'd say, well, somebody did something. I would never do that. And then they fall the same way. What does it say? Pride cometh before the fall. And judgment, I'm going to say something else about judgment in a minute. Okay, let's look at verses 3 through 5 in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. I had something really funny, a picture. Sometimes pictures just, you know, flash up when these things happen. But God showed me in this picture that when you're standing and judging another brother and wanting to pull, and that word mote means a twig or a straw. It's a little thing. But then you have the beam in your own eye, and beam means a timber, like a 2x4 or a tree. You have this big thing in your eye, but you see that little thing in theirs. And this is what I saw, that you with us, we, with this beam in our eye, have our eye on somebody else. And that mote, that little twig or something, is a reflection of the beam in your eye that you see in their eye. I thought, wow, that's interesting. Haven't you ever been looking at somebody and you can see reflections, especially if they wear glasses? I heard an old timer one time, because there's some, I don't know why, you know, I'm using this finger, and my husband will reach up and grab my finger. Honey, don't point. And this old timer said, you know that while you're pointing that finger at somebody else, you've got three other fingers pointing back at you. So from then on, when I was with that old timer, I'd say, well, you know what, you something or other. I have all my hands stretched out like this. I like to just pull his leg. So if you judged, ask God to forgive you. Romans 2. Let's take a look there. Romans 2. Go to verse 21. Thou therefore who teacheth another. Now, he's just not talking about teachers. Parents teach. We teach each other. Thou, therefore, who teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, do you steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. How many of us have taught our children not to do a certain thing and we do it? You shouldn't watch those kind of shows, and yet when they go to sleep we watch those kind of shows or read those kind of books or whatever it is. The old saying, do as I say, do not as I do. Another thing that can hold us there and keep us from receiving is pride. Let's look at Luke 18, verse 9. And he spoke this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, you know, the tax collectors were not liked just like when you mention the IRS. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. Now, the Pharisee, those were the religious folk of the day. So people who have religious spirits, who are religious, pious, religious spirits, because it's pride, prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself will be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Pride will keep you from being able to receive from God. And it will keep you bound with demons, because pride is a demon. You know how you spell pride? P-R, capital I, D-E. I'm looking for that thing about judgment. I thought I had that written, but it's not. Well, let me just say this. Oh, okay, here it is. Okay. Pride is also a judgment. You see, the Pharisee was standing there in all of his proud self-righteousness, condemning the others who had come to be forgiven. But he was like, I don't need to be forgiven. I have no sin. And here's what I learned about my own pride back in the day. And now it stands out so much to me. And sometimes, depending on who it is, I'll share that with them. I learned that I judged others in the area I took pride in. I'll just give you an example. Let's just say you go into somebody's house and you're surprised that they're not a very good housekeeper. After all, my house is spotless. I would never leave dirty dishes in the sink. That kind of thing. That's the same kind of pride. And it depends on what your area of pride is in the areas that you will judge others. And what you're really doing is you're having expectations of others to live up to your standards. Again, I suffered everything I ever had pride in. I suffered everything I judged other people for. And that's a very humbling thing. After enough of it, when you realize the spiritual law and that it came back on you, you begin to be a little wiser, a little more compassionate, a little more understanding, and not to judge. So this man was a Pharisee. He had a religious spirit. Religious spirits can keep you from receiving from God. They can keep you from being set free from demons, because a religious spirit is a demon. It really is an anti-Christ spirit. A religious spirit is an anti-Christ spirit because it has nothing to do with Christ. These can be generationally inherited. Some of us have generationally inherited religious spirits depending on where our ancestors were, who our ancestors worshipped, what church your ancestors came from. Because there are many churches that call themselves Christian churches that have antichrist spirits. Many times people will come here and they have struggled with receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the first thing I've learned to ask them is, can I ask you what church you were raised in? And they tell me, and then I go, well, we just need to break off the antichrist spirit. And they're like, offended. But no, let me explain. Any religion that denies what the Word of God says is an antichrist spirit, has an antichrist spirit. And if you were raised up in it, then that spirit is on you. And you know, it took me a long time to understand this, but even if, now, unless you are ordained by God to be there for a specific purpose, even though you don't know what the purpose is. If you're in a church just because you have a lot of friends there and you like it and it's fun and they do things and all this is going on, but they preach against things that are in the Word of God, you're sitting under an antichrist spirit. That's dangerous.
Yes.
Because whatever's in the head, you know, I went to, I'll just give my testimony. I was in a Disciples of Christ, First Christian Church. I was raised in the Methodist Church for a while. When I got married, Mike and I didn't go to church. Then, when we had children, of course, I wanted my children to be raised in church. And I was reading the Bible at home, so it wasn't like I wasn't getting fed, but I wanted to be in a church. So we joined, and I know God put me there. I was asking him to, Lord, don't let me miss it. Show me where you want us to go and don't let me miss it, because things can go right over my head. It takes me a while sometimes. I used to joke and say, I'm going to get a hat made like a catcher's mitt and have it standing up right about here so I can catch things that just go right over my head. Sometimes I'm slow to learn, but I'm getting better because I'm praying to not miss it. Lord, don't let me miss it. Okay, so we were going to go visit this church, and I was getting ready, and I was singing a song. Just a song was coming out of me, and I didn't even realize what song I was singing. I only knew the chorus. It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. I was putting my makeup on and singing, and my five-year-old, my son, Wade, came to me, and he says, Mama, what is that song? I thought about it, and I know that was a God thing, because I wouldn't even remember to sing him the song, probably. He said, teach it to me, so I taught him what I knew. So we go to the church, and I like it. It feels homey. You know, I just felt like I was at home. So they had communion, and the song before communion was, Wind Streams Like a River. Well, that didn't mean anything to me. I'm singing a song, and then all of a sudden we got to the chorus. It is well, and I just started shaking all over. I was like, oh my goodness, you know. It meant something to me, but God had given me that so I wouldn't miss it. Okay, so we joined the church, and that's a funny story too, but I'm not going to get into it right now because my husband thought I had tricked him. But anyway, we joined the church, and we were going there for 5 years. After 5 years, I found myself crying on the way to church. Well, why am I crying? I loved it. Loved the people, loved the pastor, loved everything about it. And so whenever, this happened more than once, and I just couldn't understand it, I began to ask God, now look, I know you put me here without a doubt, and now I'm beginning to wonder, what is this? If I didn't know better, it's kind of like, is it over? Is it time to leave? If it is, don't let me miss it, Lord. Because, you know, sometimes you can stay in a place too long. When the cloud moves, you better go with the cloud. But anyway, so then I found out that they were going to have the big convention, which I didn't even know churches had. You know, the big thing at the top that governs all the churches under that name. And I had gotten a newspaper from the church, and in the newspaper it said that the convention was coming up, and here are the issues that are going to be voted on this conference. Number one, is the Word of God the highest authority in that by which a Christian's life should be molded? That's what they're going to vote on that? I'm like, what? The second one, is Jesus Christ the only way to salvation? Oh, my goodness. Then they give some scriptures from the Bible where it works. You know, Rahab put the string and her family was saved and all these things. And Patty, could you bring me some water? I thirst. Anyway, so I begin to understand. Thank you, Dan. I began to understand why I was crying. It was almost like, you know, this has been my experience with God. He always prepares me for what's coming. That's one of the attributes of the Holy Ghost. He will show you things to come. We don't hear about that very often, but He will show you things to come. So, when I got that paper, I knew this church, religion, institution, whatever you want to call it, is in trouble. Now, I had read in the Bible about apostasy, that it will come. And in my estimation, this is apostasy in the biggest way. So when they came back, my aunt and uncle had gone to the convention, and they came back, and I thought, okay, I'm going to wait to make my decision, but I already kind of knew what the decision was going to be. whether or not to remain going there or to leave there. So when my aunt and uncle came back, I said, well, what was the decision? Well, the decision is they want to study it another 2 years. And I knew then I'm out. So, what was I telling y'all all that for? Oh, yes, the Antichrist spirit. And I'll tell you something else I've begun to notice, and I want y'all to be watchful for this. Because the Antichrist spirit is in the world. It says in 1 John 4 that it is already in the world. And what I have noticed is the lack of saying the name Jesus. I hear preachers pray, and this is not a judgment, it's an observation. And they end the prayer, in the name of your dear son. That's kind of like saying the man upstairs. That old timer used to say that all the time. The man upstairs. Well, what are you live in a garage apartment? I mean, who lives over you? I mean, let's be specific here. I would always say, and who is that? The big man. No, who is that? I want to hear you say it. Let's be specific. But I was even at a place and they blessed the food and ended it in the name of your dear son. And I said, and that would be Jesus. Jesus. That's an Antichrist spirit that kept that name from coming out of his mouth, of anybody's mouth, who will not say the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said it's going to be a stumbling stone.
Amen.
Don't let it be your stumbling stone. So Antichrist spirits. You may have, it doesn't even matter. If Jesus is not the central point, of that faith, then you can be pretty sure it's ruled by an Antichrist spirit. And we're going to break that. If you're listening to Doctrines of Demons, there's a doctrine out there that says everybody's going to be saved.
Yes.
Some even go so far as to say, even Satan. That is an Antichrist spirit. They haven't read the book. Have you read the book? You know, sometimes people say, pray for me to have more discernment. I said, let me tell you what the Word says. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the bones and the marrow. And I can't quote the rest of it verbatim, but it says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. The Word of God is a discerner. You need more discernment. You need more Word. That's what's going to keep you from being deceived. Because if you know the truth, you're going to spot a lie. Okay, here's something else about religious spirits. I want you to look at John chapter 5. Religious spirits will always miss what God is doing and pick out a religious law that's being broken. I'll set it up. I'm talking about the man at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus walks up, heals the man. Look at verse 9. And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. That's a happy day, isn't it? You've been laying there with this infirmity for, I don't know if he was laying there for 38 years, but he had the infirmity for 38 years. And now he's healed. Talk about take up a bed and walk. He was probably dancing. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. That's what religious spirits will do. They'll miss the miracle to point out your religious thing, their religious thing. They miss the miracle because of a critical spirit. Same thing happens in Luke 13. the woman who had the issue or had the spirit of infirmity. Luke 13, verse 13. This is the woman that was bent over for 18 years. Jesus said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Can I tell you that deliverance and healing can be the greatest evangelical tool?
Amen.
Amen. They get healed, they glorify God. They want to follow Jesus when they get healed. It happened to every one of them. They followed Jesus and glorified God. I love that. And in verse 13 or 14, it said, "And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, 'There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day.' And the Lord answered him and said, 'You hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away for watering?'" I just love Jesus. "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound..." This is one of the scriptures I use when people say, "Well, do you think all sickness is from the devil?" Yes, I do. Right there, "Satan hath bound. Lo, these 18 years to be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day." And then the people who pointed out his mistake were all ashamed, as they should have been. That's an antichrist spirit. It happened over and over again. Now, sometimes those things are generationally inherited. You didn't have anything to do with it. And then we have an unloving spirit. Have you just been unloving, unkind, rude, envious, jealous, gossiping, character assassination, lying, any of these things? Let's look at 1 Corinthians. I tell you, this is one I can remember when I was young in the Lord, so eager to serve Him, serve Him, serve Him. In the church every time the doors were opened. And then in teaching Sunday school and working in an after school program, I was really serving God. And then He made me get out of everything. I want you to remove yourself from teaching Sunday school. I want you to let go of the afternoon program. There were other things. I served on some committees. No, had to resign from everything. I had learned about Balaam. You know, Balaam was asked to come and curse the people, and he said, "Well, let me pray about it." He prayed about it. God said, "No, you don't go." So the king sends more gifts, more enticement. So he says, see, that should have been his answer. He prayed about it. God said, "No." That should have been the end of it. But he prayed again. Again, God said, "No." So they sent more good stuff, more riches, more pretty clothes, all kinds of things. And he said, "Well, y'all stay and I'll pray about it." This time God said, "Go." I was like, "What? Lord, don't confuse me here." No, no, go. I mean, if I pray and you say no, do I keep praying till you say go? Well, read the rest of the story of Balaam. No. Of course, God can redeem even your mistakes, but don't let that become a practice.
Amen.
So, when God told me to get out of everything, I didn't know why. I didn't even understand it. My kids were going to be in school all day for the first time, all three of them, all day school. Freedom to serve God more. And He took me out of everything. So I'm sitting on my front porch having my coffee with my Bible, talking to the Lord. And I get around to saying, and Lord, I don't know what this is all about, because now I've got more time to study than ever, and you made me get out of everything. So I guess while I'm sitting here doing nothing, I want you to teach me how to really love my husband and children. And I heard that come out of my mouth. And I was like, what did I say? Or Lord, what did you say through me? That's really what happened. He spoke to me through me. That happens a lot too. And I said, well, of course I love my husband and children. And then I was out to prove how I loved my husband and children. Well, I cook, I clean, he said anybody can do that. Okay, well, what is love anyway? And he sent me to 1 Corinthians 13. And that's the day that he sawed me off at the knees with a chainsaw. And I dropped to my knees because I didn't have any lower legs. But it's true. I started reading 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, that's the love chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am becoming a sounding bronze or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. That's when the salt came. Because, you know the old saying is, mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I suffered about this long before I started getting. I didn't know how to suffer long, and I sure wasn't kind when I suffered. Everybody suffered too. He showed me a little moving film picture of myself. I get out of church from working, teaching Sunday school, working with the after school thing that was not over till like 8:30 at night, and my children were very young and sleepy, and here I am dragging them and get them in the car, and they're all crying and screaming all the way home, and I've been with all the other little children and just telling this to me, shut up, we're going home, shut up. Oh, he showed me these pictures and I was horrified. And not only that, the way I talked to my husband, I mean, just not a pretty picture. Then I went to the next one and saw myself in all the ways that I was not love. Love envious not. I was about the most jealous person you'd ever meet. I envied everybody everything. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Yeah, that too. Does not behave itself unseemly. Ugh. I made a spectacle of myself. No, I had a demon. I did. I had a demon, a big one. Her name was Jezebel. She made a spectacle of me everywhere I went. I used to think it was me. Thank God it wasn't me. I was never so glad to learn about demons in my life. Yay! It's not me! I'm not evil! It's an evil spirit! Praise God! Let's get rid of that thing!
Amen.
Is not easily provoked? We won't even go there. Think it's no evil? We won't go there either. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. And down at the bottom, you know, you go on. It says, and now aboutest faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And God showed me just how unloving I was. I had no love. I didn't even know how to love. I didn't even know what love was. That's scary, because God is love. What does that say? See, I had God, but there were all these other things that were keeping that bound up. so as not to be able to be expressed to other people. God is love. And I don't care if you can do all these things, if it's not motivated by love, you're in it for yourself. I was in it for myself. I didn't know I was in it for myself, but I was. But I'm not in it for myself anymore.
Amen.
Ask God to love through you. You know what God said to me, Carla? It pleases me that you want to serve me. But you got to get it right in your home first. You know, it starts in Jerusalem. You know what it says? When the power from on high comes, ye shall be witnesses. That's a whole lot different than just going out and telling about Jesus and being a witch at the house. That's why the world calls us hypocrites. Because they see the real us at work and everywhere else. And then we want to be high and mighty in the church world. So have you been unloving? Have you been rude, unkind, jealous, gossiping, talking about people? Ask God to forgive you. And ask God to come and fill you with His love. Real love. His love. And then, last but not least, sin. Our own sin can keep us from receiving and allowing those demons to be cast out from us. James 4a says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. See, I was double-minded. I was this way at church, and I was that way everywhere else. That's double-mindedness. 1 John 1. All right, stop that. 5-10. This, then, is the message which ye have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, like the Pharisee, I'm glad I'm not like those people. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Let me tell you, there's deception coming. It's already happening, but it's going to get worse and worse and slicker to the point that in Matthew 24 it says, if the time was not shortened, there should no flesh be saved. That's a serious deception. But there is self-deception. See, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. In James it says that if you be a hearer of the word and not a doer, you deceive your own selves. We must become doers of the word. So have we walked in darkness in any way? Have we lied even to ourselves, deceived ourselves, saying we have no sin? And then the unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that's why I said, if anything pricks you, quickly, Father, I've done that, forgive me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you shed your blood, that we could come and be cleansed. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been cleansed of what I call capital S sin, and that is the sin that we were all born with, because everyone after Adam was born in sin. Capital S sin. That's gone. But we have all these little S sins, those that we committed after we were saved. Yes, those cause us to be a sinner, but we're not that capital S sinner anymore. We are the children of God, sons of righteousness, through Him. And when we sin, we can come to Him and confess it. And He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father, I thank You for this night in preparation for the rest of this camp, that we could come and examine ourselves and cleanse our hands, confess our sins, and be forgiven. Forgive others. Ask You to forgive us for the times we have judged, for the times we've been unkind and unloving, for the times that we've lied to You, the times that we have offended You. We ask You to forgive us, Lord. We want to be made clean tonight so that there will be nothing that can stand in the way of the rest of the deliverances that take place during this camp to have great success, that we can leave this place different than we came, and that we can walk in that light, that we can receive Your love in a greater degree, and thereby releasing the kingdom of heaven into the earth the way You wanted us to. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, okay, first, I want to do one thing about the unforgiveness. How many of you released somebody tonight? That's not for me to see. That's just for you to admit to it. Then I want to break the soul ties between you and those that you forgave. It may have been more than one. So let's just pray it out loud. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break soul ties with the person that I was holding unforgiveness with. I send their soul and spirit back to them. I call my soul and spirit back to myself. Cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I ask You to heal my mind and restore my soul in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. You know, you don't see anything. Some people have told me they feel it. When I pray that with them, they feel it. But don't go by feelings. If you didn't feel anything, that doesn't mean nothing happened. Okay. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just bind the spirits that we have talked about tonight. I come against the spirits of unforgiveness right now. All the spirits of unforgiveness, you go in Jesus' name. Difficulty in forgiving, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Attitudes of the heart, wrong attitudes of the heart, I bind you and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Wrong attitudes, you go in the name of Jesus. I come against holding people in prison, keeping them owing you a debt, even owing you an apology. Some people find it hard to forgive unless that person comes and says, I'm sorry. That's not part of the deal. You forgive regardless. So holding them in bondage because they have not said they were sorry, I break that bondage off of you right now in Jesus' name. Loose those people and let them go. So if you have done that, then I command the tormentors to go in Jesus' name. I loose you from the tormentors that you have been given over to because you've held unforgiveness. All tormenting spirits, you go in the name of Jesus. Loose God's people. I come against the spirit of offense, getting your feelings hurt easy, wanting to get upset over every little thing, that hypersensitivity, I command you to go. I break the power of offense off of you right now and command you to go in Jesus' name. Dirty looks. I command the spirit over dirty looks. You go. Snide remarks. Go in the name of Jesus. Just haughtiness. Go in the name of Jesus. just the tone of your voice to let them know that you're upset. I bind that in the name of Jesus. Go. All offense, spirits of offense, go. Being offensive, I bind the spirit of offense that caused you to be offensive in Jesus' name. I command you to go. You lose God's people right now in Jesus' name. I come against judging others, even judging yourself. Some people judge themselves and are hard on themselves. I bind that spirit of judging in the name of Jesus and command it to go. I break it off God's people right now, looking for other people's faults, being critical, fault-finding spirits. You go in the name of Jesus. I come against the critical spirit, looking for other people's failures and pointing those out to them and being critical of them in the name of Jesus. That critical eye, I blind that critical eye in the name of Jesus. Finger pointing, fault finding, blaming, not taking responsibility for your own failures. You go in the name of Jesus, blaming it on somebody else. Hypocrisy. I break the power of hypocrisy, of saying one thing and doing another, and then holding people, expecting people to live up to those standards that you can't even live up to. I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. I command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of pride. Pride. Look at me. Look how much better I am than they are. I bind those spirits of pride and command them to go in the name of Jesus. I come against the religious spirit, the Pharisee spirit. You go. That spirit that wants to point out everything that you've done wrong, looking at everything under a microscope, finding everybody guilty according to God's laws. You go in Jesus' name. The spirit of pride, that pride spirit that sees itself as faultless. I don't do anything wrong. I have no sin. I don't do that. Look what they do. Wanting to take the mote out of somebody's eye when you have a beam in your own. I bind all those spirits of criticism and fault-finding. You go in Jesus' name. I come against the generationally inherited religious spirits, antichrist spirits, spirits that want to deny Christ, spirits that will not recognize the work of God. I bind that antichrist spirit in Jesus' name. I command it to go. Get out of God's people in Jesus' name. Those spirits that came down from a church that you belong to that would deny the word of God, the antichrist spirits that came down through religions, go in the name of Jesus. Listening to doctrines of demons, deception, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of being deceived, go in Jesus' name. All New Age, if you were a part of the New Age or witchcraft or any of those things that are antichrist, I bind those spirits and command them to get out of you now in Jesus' name. All the antichrist spirits. Lies, the lying spirit. I break the power of the lying spirit off of you, of people telling you lies and you believe in it, being deceived by lying spirits. I bind that lying spirit. I bind the lying spirit that works in you that tells you lies about yourself and you believe them, whether they're bad or good. Being delusional. I come against the unloving spirit. I bind that unloving spirit. I command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And I loose upon you the love of God. Lord, I just ask you right now to circumcise every heart here to receive your love, not the world's love, not their own love, but your love, Father, the pure love that you are, and that they can love each other with that kind of love, that your love can reach out to a lost and dying world. I come against rebellion, stubbornness, wanting to do your own thing, idolatry, in the name of Jesus. Every one of these things that I've named could have been an idol in your life. You make an idol out of unforgiveness. You make an idol out of your own self. You make an idol out of a religious spirit. I bind all idolatry. I break its power right now, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. Idolatry, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Worshiping your own self, holding everybody accountable to live up to your expectations and your standards. I come against double-mindedness, all double-mindedness. You go in the name of Jesus. teaching one thing and doing another. All double-mindedness, you go. I come against the kingdom of darkness in every person. I bind that kingdom of darkness, and I command all darkness to get out of you in the name of Jesus. All darkness, you go. Unrighteousness, I bind you and break your power, and I loose the righteousness of God. I bind the spirit of the prince of the power of the air. It's written in Ephesians 2:2. I bind that spirit of the prince of the power of the air that worketh in the children of unrighteousness. You go. The prince of the power of the air, I bind you to break your power, and I command you to leave God's people right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I cover each person with the blood of Jesus right now. I bind any spirits of backlash and retaliation. I bind familiar spirits from working while this camp is going on. I bind familiar spirits that came with every one of us from working with others that are here and having a party over our heads without us even knowing it. I bind those spirits and command them to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, I loose the power of God upon each person to receive. I loose the spirit of repentance. I loose the spirit of deliverance so that everyone who came here with a need and a need to be delivered from some form of bondage will not leave here with that same bondage. Lord, I just loose the power for that to happen in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I just bless your people. I bless each one to have a good night's sleep tonight. Lord, that they can get up and come to the 6 o'clock prayer meeting in the morning. If you came needing ministry, that's the time to get it. We don't make personal appointments here to do private deliverance. Jesus made an open spectacle of them, so don't worry about being outed here. We're going to out. We're going to cast them out. And nobody's going to think anything about what demon got cast out of you. So we love you and we desire for you to be free. And I just pray that you have a good night's sleep. We'll see you in the morning at 6 right here. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.